Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Chris Daniels.
Praise God, Leslie's got a lot of bottle. Well, I was told to start with a really bad joke to try and rival someone else that I won't mention. But there you go. I'm just wondering if we can do a little bit of, what's it called, revision. Ooh. So starting with A, appreciate.
Be thankful.
Be thankful.
Cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Excellent. Thank you. Or is it appreciate? You always forget the first one. Go on.
Appreciate. Be thankful.
Cultivate an attitude of gratitude.
Fantastic. You know, a few weeks ago... So I'm really freezing sitting by that door. I never get cold. And I'm shaking, and it's not the glory of God. I'm just freezing. It's just really, really hot in Bridlington this morning. And once again, we drove up to the frozen north of Scarborough. Anyway, good to see you. Are you well?
Yes.
Are you appreciative?
Yes.
Are you thankful?
Yes.
Excellent. And a few weeks ago at a God encounter on Thursday night, a lady came up to me and said, "Are you Chris?" So who's asking? And she wasn't there to take me away. It was all right. But there's a lady who lives on the island of Mull. And way the other side of Scotland on the east coast. Beautiful part of the country. I used to live on the Isle of Arran.
West coast.
Did I say east?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing nice about the east coast of Scotland. The beautiful west coast of Scotland. I used to live on the Isle of Arran on the west coast of Scotland, so I should know. And she'd actually been listening to that message. And I kind of put that ABC, thankful thing, just as a little tag on at the beginning. And I thought the rest of the message was really, really good. And she came up to me and said, "You know that first bit you did? Changed my life." Right, thank you, that's great. You know, I mean, it's really cool that listening via the internet to the messages, a lady living on a little Scottish island on the correct coast of Scotland, she said all sorts of things. She just something caught her, and she started being thankful for us and just being grateful and appreciative and all that sort of stuff. And she is just, everything's changing. And one or two supportive people around her were saying, "Oh, it's just your attitude to it's changed," which is probably true, but also she's been having terrible trouble with the builders. And who knows, it takes a move of God sometimes to get the builders, you know. And even that suddenly is just radically changed, and the building is getting on. I mean, this is a few weeks ago now, so it might even be finished by now. But just amazing, just by changing those few things. So I was really grateful that somebody came and fed something back like that. Really grateful that it was someone who'd been listening on the podcast via the internet. That's really great, isn't it? So all this lot here together as a team are changing lives and things all around. We don't know where. So if you're listening right now on the podcast, which I know it's not live, but send us an email, tell us where you're from, tell us what God's doing in your life.
Yeah.
You know, because it'd be really nice to know. That lady from Mull might be the only one. But I somehow doubt it. So that's really cool, isn't it? It's great. So we're appreciative. I wanted to do a little prayer thing to begin with, but Paul's already done that by the leading of the Spirit, so that's good. But we're going to go to Romans 4, because I love Romans. As in the book. Haven't met any actual Romans. I've been in one or two churches where it looks like there's been one or two Romans, but not recently. And I love Romans 3, fantastic stuff. I love Romans 5. And being a really good, broad kind of minded person, I tend to just stick with my favourite passages. So one day I thought, well, I'll read the bit in the middle, see what it says. And I read it in the New Living because I can understand that. And it was just like, wow, this is really cool. So I just want to read a little bit from middle of Romans 4 that I just think is really helpful, hopefully. Hopefully helpful. And it's Romans 4, verse 18. It says, "When God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations, Abraham believed him. God had also said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars, even though such a promise seemed utterly impossible. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though he knew that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100, and that Sarah, his wife, had never been able to have children. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this, he brought glory to God. I love this. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. Now, we often look back at old scriptures in the Old Testament. The Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed and jolly useful. And you've heard of the Amplified Version. I'm rewriting the abbreviated Bible and shortening all the long ones. And the story of Abraham is just so good. Because what he's... I mean, okay, he's quite old. If you, those of you who know the story, he was quite an old man. Older, I think, than anybody here. When he was given the promise. And I think it took 20 years, didn't it not? 12 years? 20 years? It took a good number of years. So I want to be interactive, you see. It took about 25. We got to 25. Yeah. Any advances on 25? Going. It took quite a while for this. So really, he was even older. So actually, when you're old and God gives you a promise that you're going to have a baby... And then it doesn't. That promise doesn't come through. Actually, the promise with our natural eyes actually gets harder. It's already impossible. But actually, as year by year by year by year comes by, it gets more and more impossible. Until eventually, it's really impossible. Now, it's impossible is impossible. So to be really impossible, it's still impossible. Yeah, you're confused. And yet he never wavered in his faith. In fact, the more impossible it seemed, the more his faith was up for it. Yeah? I mean, I know some of us are facing some situations that seem impossible, and they might actually, you've been coming along to church and being built up, and they now seem more impossible than they did when you started. But actually, they're just as impossible as they were. And come on, build your faith, you know, because this is the faith of Abraham, the father of faith. He was well up for it. The more impossible it got, he was like, bring it on. In his old sort of Jewish kind of way, you know. But it was like, bring it on. If it's really impossible, I don't want to touch it if it's not. I want something really impossible. Now, you might think that, you know, he never wavered. But... there's one or two times when maybe he could have hit the mark a bit better. For example, he was promised that he was going to have a child with his wife. And he was going to give birth... Well, he wasn't, obviously. That would have been impossible. His wife was going to give birth to a son called Isaac. Known to his friends as Zach. And he waited and waited and waited. And in the end... he thought he better give God a hand. And he gave God a hand. And he did the business with Sarah's main slave. Well, she's mine as well, so, you know, that's kind of how they were back then. So they have this little boy called Ishmael. But that's not him. That's not the promise. Abraham did a boo-boo. Oh no, what are we going to do? I'm going to have to give up on this whole father of many nations thing. I've messed this up completely. Now he got up again and thought, okay, God told me this isn't right. I need to carry on believing. I need to keep on believing. I'm going to carry on. I'm not going to just let the ball catch and kick it back. I am determined, Chris Daniels Ministries, we're going to kick the spirit of rugby union out of the church. Have you seen them? They get the ball and kick it back. Quick, oh, the ball kick. And the other catch it. What kick? And they catch it. Kick it out of touch. No, no, we need the spirit of rugby league in the church. I've got the ball and I'm going to charge right at you. Come on. Don't care what's impossible. We're going to go for it. Too many rugby union fans in the room. Sorry. But I tell you what, Ishmael gave birth to Ish. Gave birth, you know, became the father of the Ishmaelite nation. Who was it that turned up just in time to take Joseph to Egypt? It was the Ishmaelites. Somehow out of that mess, God brought deliverance to the people of Israel through Ishmael. I'm not saying we should go and make mistakes on purpose, but God's promises will come through. God decided that it was utterly... No, Abraham. Abraham decided, he was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything that he promised. Anything. Absolutely. He was convinced. So he did that. Messed up. Oh Lord, it's not that way. It's your way. Okay. Right. Go for it. If you have a look in your Bibles in Genesis 25. And that's the first book in the Bible. 25th chapter. You don't have to. It's only a little verse. But you might be interested. Because after Sarah died, Abraham's wife, he took another wife, a lady called Keturah. And the says here, now Abraham married again. Keturah was his new wife, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua, which I think by that time, it wasn't his real name, he just kept getting under his feet. Shua. You know. And but do you notice one of the names there, those Bible scholars amongst you? One of those names, Midian, became one of the enemies of God's people. So it's like Abraham was trying to help God out again by making a few more sons, a few more nations. And of course, he was the father of many nations, but the promise was going through Isaac. And through that, the story of Gideon in Judges 6, we get to the place where Israel, the inheritance of Abraham, is actually being held down and hemmed in by Midian. But God delivered them out of it. Gideon and just 300 men confused the enemy. And the three, it looked like a formidable enemy, but it was actually three different kingdoms, probably not as united as they looked when they come marching towards you. Frighten them in the night, quick civil war overnight, bam, they're all gone. Don't need weapons, you just need wisdom. Okay, oh, that's a good one. Yeah. So, what am I saying? This impossibility stuff is great. To change our thinking from impossible to possibility thinking, we've got to do it. But sometimes we cancel ourselves out. We try and go for it, and we trip at the first, second, third hurdle. We're going for it well. We think, oh, that's it. Let's not be doing that. Let's pick ourselves up. Let's stand up on our feet and say, right, I'm still going to do the impossible. This is what this Abraham was the father of our faith. He was the father of faith, really. He's the biggest example we've got in the Old Testament of what it really is to live by faith. And he blew it a bit, but the Bible says he never wavered in his faith. So blowing it can be counted as never wavering in your faith. Can be. And I believe there are people here, sitting here today, that are not moving into what God has called them into because they kind of think, well, I tried that. And it's a bit too impossible for me. Well, the answer is just choose. Choose to believe. It is a choice. You meet so many people in the world that think, oh, I can't believe that because this and this and this has happened to me. You do not need to be a victim of your circumstances. In fact, you need to start making your circumstances become a victim of you. What we need... it's to start saying, well, I'm going to choose to believe. I don't have to just believe what's been thrown at me in life. I love the stories of a guy called Martin Luther, who was a Catholic monk. And he was brought up, everyone in sight, everyone everywhere was Catholic. No one read the Bible in their own language. He was so brought up in it, he became a monk and a priest. So he was professionally trained to be a Catholic, the strongest form you can be. And yet this man, not knowing anything, read Romans, including chapter 4, and did the impossible, and started what we call the Reformation. He was a man of prayer who would bring healing. Not a lot of people know that, but I've read things where he actually would stay up all night praying for someone and see them healed. Right at the beginning of the Reformation, he would read the word and choose to believe it. He did not believe anything of what he'd been shown and trained in all his life. He stuck out like a sore thumb, and he said, right, I'm going to believe for healing. I'm going to believe for the spiritual gifts. Right at the beginning of the Reformation. Praise God.
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, he's teaching, and he wrote lots, but I think he died by, was it 29 or 39? He was quite young when they caught him and burnt him at the stake. But he accomplished so much that was kind of contrary to how he'd been brought up. He changed his mind. He chose not to believe what he'd always believed. He chose to believe what the Word said over everything he'd ever known and been shown. That's what it is to have faith. To choose to believe that God is who he says he is, and that he does reward those who carefully, diligently, earnestly seek him. It's fantastic, isn't it? So don't count ourselves out. Just turn it over to God so we can get back into the impossible business. Amen. Repentance is so exciting. Every time you mention the repent, even though I think it's exciting, I still think of the man next to the limb carnival with his big thing on, saying, repent, the end is nigh, shouting at us because we did an outreach float on a brewery wagon, and he couldn't cope with Christians on a brewery wagon. You're on a booze cart, wagging his finger at us, thinking he's winning people to Jesus. Now, repentance isn't all about the whole thing. It's an exciting way to get back into doing the impossible.
Hallelujah.
It's an exciting way of turning round from the pit I've dug for myself, getting out of it, pulling whatever, and just going for it. That's what repentance is. We have such a negative connotation with it. It's changing your mind. It's getting out of it. And let's go for it. Oh, come on. You still awake? Praise God, we've got 2 minutes. Oh. How many seconds in every minute? Wow. I mean, we only really fail when we don't learn from where we've fallen down. That's when it's a failure. You can do the biggest mess up ever, but if you've learned every lesson from that, that's not a mess up at all. That's just a learning curve. I did come to a point in my ministry before I moved up here when I said, Lord, can my learning curves be more curvy? Because they just seem to be like vertical, you know. You got to learn this all now, you know. But no, it's a learning curve, isn't it? It's repentance and getting on and learning from mistakes. That's kind of what repentance is, in a way, is learning from mistakes. It's a fancy Bible word, but it's just learn from your mistakes and turn away from them. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Just the execution sometimes isn't as simple. But if you start with the intent and start speaking it out, you make the space for yourself to do it. Some of your mindsets have been altered by mistakes, hurts, failures. You know, life has happened. Life happens to all of us. I used to tell my testimony of being adopted and this going wrong and that going wrong and all this sort of thing until I realized that everyone had a story similar to that, actually. Maybe not everyone's adopted, but actually most people have got some ridiculous story, and we could all queue up for Jeremy Kyle, actually. But we've been redeemed from that. Praise God. My goodness, what a show. And we've been redeemed from that. We're set free. And actually, most of us have got some hang-ups about something. And you meet people with the most perfect parents, and their kids have got some weird ideas from being hurt here and there. You know, life happens.
Yes.
Deal with it. You know, and life may still be happening to some of you. Allow God to change you in it.
That's right.
Because you defile from within, hey?
Yes.
And, you know, some of the stuff that we've been shared recently, if I'd known this years ago, I'd just be such a different person. You know, I'm still battling with some of these things I could have done with knowing a long time ago. But we're knowing them now, aren't we?
Yes.
Amen. We're moving forward. Yes. We're doing the impossible. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. But let's just look at Peter for a minute. Jesus walking across the water, doing the impossible, breaking the power of gravity and other laws. Peter has a look and thinks, oh, well, I should have a go at that. Jesus, so he says, give me the word and I'll come. So he waited for Jesus to command him. That's quite handy, wasn't it? He didn't just get out of the boat. He said, Jesus, can you command me to do it? Because he'd learned obedience. So Jesus had commanded him, so he got out of the boat and did it. And we always focus on the bit where he sinks. But it doesn't say how long he was walking on the water. But actually, for one moment in time, maybe a few moments in time, a man was walking on water next to the Son of God. The other 11 didn't. We don't slate them off for not getting out of the boat. We say, oh, he took his eyes off Jesus and down he went. Oh, woe is... You know. But come on, he actually got out the boat. This is why I think Peter was really loved by Jesus. At least he did something. He put his foot in his mouth more times than you can count. He got it wrong, but he learned and became one of the most powerful apostles. Why? Because he made more mistakes than the others. Some of the others have been watching him going, yeah, he did that, did he? No, I wouldn't have done that. Of course you would. It's great. I work in a children's home. I work with care workers. I'm a care worker. And the amount of times you sit there, you know, you're faced with a situation with the kids. And you know what kids are like? So kids that are chaotic, that live in a kid's home, they're all like, you know. And it's like, wow. And everyone's going, oh, I wouldn't have done it like that. Oh, I wouldn't have done it like that. I mean, some that have been doing it a long time don't talk like that because they know, you don't know how you would have done it if you're in the situation, because every situation's different. But so easily you can think, oh, I wouldn't have done it like that. I think sometimes you have to take a step back with these disciples and think, actually, I might have stayed in the boat. I don't know, I might have done what Peter did and probably not made about two steps before I sank. What Peter did was amazing. And you know what? He picked himself up, and a few weeks after Jesus was risen from the dead, Jesus was sat at the beach. Jesus loves the beach. Jesus loves the seaside. He loves Scarborough and Bridlington. Amen. And they didn't have a lot of chips back then, but he did like the fish. So as the body of Christ, you have to have the chips for him. And he's there cooking up some fish, just at the side on the beach there. And they're out fishing, and they spot him. And they go, it's the Lord. And have you noticed, Peter puts his coat on and then jumps out of the boat. And you think, I wouldn't go swimming with my coat on. He never meant to swim. He got out the boat to run back to shore. He thought he'd have another go. It's the Lord, anything's possible. Coat on, let's run across the water back. Unfortunately, on that occasion, Zeal got the better of him and he had to swim with his coat back to ground. But he had a go. He had a go. He didn't say, oh, I made a mistake at that once. Oh, I got hurt once. Oh, I got this once, you know. No. He got up. I've done all those things. Oh, I've been offended and hurt in time. And I have lost and missed out on the promises of God. I've missed out on all sorts. And I've chosen not to believe, not because the word has changed, but because my perception has changed, or my, you know, and my circumstances changed. Bonkers when you look back on it. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Of course I would. And I'd probably do it again, but for the grace of God. So I have to watch myself, make sure I don't. For some of you, what is the impossible? For some of you, I mean, it's great talking about the impossible. It's a long 2 minutes, this. And all the big things. But I think for one or two of you, the impossible is forgiveness. For some of you, you found it impossible to forgive or receive the forgiveness that God has got for you. Some of you are still performing to make yourself right with God. Some of you are still trying to earn His love. Not many of you, but some of you, and we fall into it as well. And somehow it's been like that. You've been on a cycle for years, and it's just impossible. Well, if it's impossible, good. Let God do it and change you. Yeah? Cool. What else might be impossible? Just enjoying life. Some of us get caught in a cycle of an inability to just enjoy our lives. I used to think as a kid there was like this thermostat in my life, and if I had too much fun during the day, a parent somewhere would come down on me like a ton of bricks, you know, and that's just my life. And I realised it didn't have to be like that. Jesus came to give us fullness of life. Effervescent, fizzy, bouncy kind of life. You might think that Eeyore is Eeyore, but in the kingdom of God, he can be Tigger. Is that too complicated? Can some of you remember that? No. I mean, for some of you, the impossible is hearing God for yourself. You just caught. You just decided. Well, I've tried to hear God. I just never seem to hear God. And you've got that impossible thinking going on into your head. And of course, you've closed the airwaves off, and you're not hearing God anymore. And other people hear God, and people have words for you. Or sometimes no one ever prophesies to me. I remember years ago going to the prophetic meetings, where there'd be a prophet at the front, and you'd wear the brightest T-shirts, and he might spot you and have a word for you. You know. You've never done that. But hey, anything is possible. All things are possible. You can forgive. You can love. You have been forgiven. You are loved. You are accepted. You are acceptable. God has declared you acceptable to him, therefore to each other. Praise God. Because of what he's done. I used to get really hassled listening to my voice on tape. And even looking in the mirror sometimes, you know. And then I realised, well, you're all used to looking at this, and you're used to hearing my voice. It's not of a shock to you. It's true, though, isn't it? When you hear yourself on tape, you think, oh, do I sound like that? Well, everyone's been listening to that for years. They don't care. Maybe for some of you, actually stepping out and seeing somebody healed when you pray for them, you think, well, I prayed for a few people, and no one ever seems to get healed. Well, if you're in a church situation, you may never see the person again. They may have got healed on the way out to the car, and you don't know that. John Wimber, the guy that kind of was instrumental in the Vineyard movement, some of you may know about, when his church got into healing and believed God was healing, the first year they prayed and people died. And they didn't give up. They kept going. I think a lot of us have got experience of praying for people and maybe it going wrong, going the other way. But the mistake is giving up on it. All things are possible. Yes, I can see somebody healed. You can. See somebody healed through your hand being laid on them. Through the God that is in you, he's the same God that's in Pastor Paul, the same God that's in Clive, the same God that's in Dr. Jim. Same Holy Spirit, Christ in you. Amen. It's not about you, it's about him. That's why it's not impossible. Bringing someone to Jesus, serving in church. Something that God has put on your heart, like a project or something. I want to get involved in something. And last time I got involved in something, it just fell apart. I need to get involved. I don't want to do that anymore. No, you've been called to be an army together. Yes. That last week, my goodness, you've been ordained. Yes. Holy orders and all that. Yes. To be a fisher of men, it's a promise. Yes. If you follow me, you will be. Because yes. You have been, you are, you will be. Hallelujah. It's a promise. We want to be fishers of men, Nespa. So why not? Let's just follow Jesus. Let's be obedient to what he says. Amen. Nothing is impossible. Amen. Nothing is impossible. I tell you what, we are a group of people that diligently seek him. Did you know that? We are. Therefore, we're being rewarded. Amen. We are a people that's learning to honour each other, to honour the anointing on our leaders. Great last week when Clive was here, I was able to really boast about our pastor. Don't tell him. I was saying we've got a good one. And I said, he's not half bad. But But it's good to honour, you know, and we're learning to do that. Therefore, we are starting to see it. Have you noticed? It's raising each week. We're getting the reward. We're getting it.
Hallelujah.
So let's keep getting it. And doing it and getting it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just stand? Let's just together choose to believe that God is who He says He is, and He is a rewarder of those who earnestly, diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want you to think now of things that I've touched on. Some of you have just thought, I am a bit like that. Let's just give that to God right now. If you're feeling difficult, if you know it's difficult to be loved, or you're finding it hard to accept any of the things I've been saying, hallelujah. Let's just give that to God right now. To say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've used to trust you in that area, but I don't trust you anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry that I have put my circumstances ahead of what you say. What I see happening ahead of what you say. Lord, I am righteous. You have made me righteous. I have as much right to stand in front of the throne of the Father as Jesus does. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. I am right with Him. I am holy. Because Christ has made me holy. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has purchased me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. And your Holy Spirit lives within me. Christ in me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to thank you, Father, that everything that is in the Father, everything that is the Son, everything that is the Holy Spirit is living right now in Christ in bodily form. And Christ is living in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, I'll tell you something. There's no if there. God is for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are for me. Therefore, nothing can be against me. Hallelujah. I'm going to choose to think differently about that situation. Hallelujah. Because you are changing me from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Hallelujah. You are changing me bit by bit. Hallelujah. And things that seem impossible to my sight, I thank you that He that can do the impossible is living within me. Hallelujah. You live in me. You are alive in me. Thank you, Father. Is anyone here happy they're saved?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone happy to be in church today?
Yes.
Oh, we must be the funniest church around, eh?
Yes.
The only church where we sing along to the notices and clap when they're finished. And oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. You are good, Lord God. You are good. Hallelujah. We glory in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. I choose from this day to look at these things with different eyes. I want to look at with the eyes of possibility at these situations. Hallelujah. I can be loved. I am loved. I can be forgiven and I can forgive. But Lord, you don't know what they did to me. I know there's some pretty disgusting things that happen in this world that happen to us. But they can be forgiven. Because whoever did them to you is not worried about it now, but you are. It's not shortening their life, but it's shortening yours. You know, I had a lot of this stuff, you know, and one day my pastor said to me, can you ever forgive the person that has hurt you for how many years? And I just looked at the cross and I saw Jesus who came, wanted to be loved, wanted to be accepted, wanted to change things. And then nailed him to a cross. Yes. And he nailed there, and in the pain and agony of that cross, he looked down at the very people who had driven the nails in as they were playing a game of dice to get his clothes. And he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing." How could I not forgive whoever has ever hurt me, and how? How could I ever not forgive after that? Of course you can forgive. Just give it to God. Ask for help. But forgive and you will set yourself free. And God will set you free. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. From this day on, I'm just going to change my way of thinking about healing, about sharing my faith. From this day on, I know I'm going to be led by you into doing the impossible. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.